Thank you all for coming again. Well done. 4 weeks. Wow. We're on the last one. We're on the homeward straight. We are really just mostly going to recap this evening. And then we're going to talk about what we do with it. Like, there's a point to this. Ah! That's the scary bit. We'll do that when we're all feeling brave later. Is everybody okay? Had a good week? Any feedback? Anybody get what happened last week? Because I didn't really get to talk to anyone after we did the words for one another. Anybody have anything encouraging to feedback? Well, it was good then. It went well. Pardon? Yeah. Come and tell. She's got something to tell about a word. You'll have to talk in here.
I'm talking there.
Oh, yeah, right. Talking there.
Okay, so, Mum asked me to share this last week, but I didn't end up coming. It was kind of just as an encouragement, because God speaks in different ways. So, lots of you know, I'm a very passionate girl when it comes to Uganda.
You can tell by your headdress.
Oh, yes. and... Essentially, as soon as I pretty much left Uganda last time, I knew I was going to go back. I didn't know how, I didn't know when, but I knew it was going to happen. And so at college, they'd started getting into the whole, like, talking to people about uni and, like, what you're going to do when you leave. I've still got a year to go, but, you know, they like to get these things over and done with. So I was like, well, I'm not going to go to uni, but maybe I'm going to go to Uganda when I leave. So I started looking into it. I was thinking about, like, what I could do. And Watoto came to Bagley, and we walked through the door, and this little boy stood at the door, and he hands me a flyer, and on the flyer it says, visit Watoto. And I'm like, ooh, maybe I could. And so, you know, about a month passes. This is still in the back of my head. I'm like, oh, maybe. And so I started looking into it. I sent an email to the kind of visiting office, and I was just kind of like, well, I don't really know, but I was just wondering if you could send me some more information. Sorry, I'm going to make this as short as possible. It's quite a long story. and so I was like, could you send me some more information? So he did. It was really helpful. And so I was like, wow, that was a really quick response. And he sent me like a financial breakdown of everything I could need to know. And I was like, okay, that's really interesting. So I was like, well, it's time to start praying into this because I need to know that this is the way I'm going back. So I was like, God, just confirm it for me because... 3 months is a long time to spend by myself in a foreign country, so I need to know. So I prayed on a Tuesday night, and the Wednesday morning I got a link sent to me for a song. And essentially, Watoto have different branches, one of which is called Living Hope, and it's where they help like mothers and all that. But and the song was called Living Hope, and so I was like, so you got, I'm not convinced. So at youth that night, prayed again, and then Thursday night now, we are in worship, we're with some of the Cheddar lot, and I just remember, I don't know why, it must have been God, how the first time we went, it didn't look like it was going to be possible, and so I was just kind of, and this was maybe 2015, and we were at New Wine, and the band in the worship started to sing a song, Lord, I Need You, Oh, I Need You. But I'd never heard that song other than when it was sang by the Watoto Choir. Now, at that time, I was like, oh, Watoto, they're from Uganda. I think I'm going to go to Uganda. Yeah, okay, great. And I was like, well, maybe that was God saying to me back then, Ellen, you're going to go. What else was there? Quickly.
Jean.
Jean, yes. So.
What was that? Oh, yeah, Andrew Murray.
Oh, yeah.
Even
better. Okay, yes.
See? Sorry, it's not that quick.
And so at this point, I was kind of like, okay, yeah, I think I get it now. I am. Watoto's the right one for me. And so I'm like, yeah, okay, I'm going to Watoto. At this point, God's like, haha, you asked for confirmation. I'm going to send it you. So we had Andrew Murray come down, and I was just up here worshipping, and Tom Follin kind of waves me over. He's like, Andrew wants to pray for you. So I'm like, okay, great. So I'm just stood there like this. And then Andrew just goes... have you got a passport? And I'm like, well, funny story, no, but I was looking at them just the other day. And he was like, you need to get one as soon as you can. And he started to kind of prophesy over me about traveling places and the things that are going to happen. I was like, wow, okay, yeah, he likes to confirm things, this is good. And then maybe a week later, Mum has a friend who lives in America called Jean, and we were on Skype to her. Well, no, Mum was on Skype to her upstairs. And she just comes running down the stairs. She's like, Ellen, you need to talk to Jean. And I was like, okay. She just sits down, puts the phone in front of me. She goes, right, I've not told her anything, okay? She knows nothing. And I'm like, right, okay. And then Jean just goes, Ellen, I had this dream last night. And I just saw you. And you were like teaching. You were teaching kids. And I kind of looked and you were singing. And I looked further and they were coloured kids. And you were definitely in Africa and you were teaching them all music and you were singing with them. And she was like, oh, and then I thought they've seen a choir before. They've seen an African choir. Maybe that's what it was. And she just went on and it was, there's no way she could have known any of it. And it was like, I know this. And so I'm going to teach music. And she was like, yeah, you were singing with them. You were teaching them. And I was like, you kidding? So he was just, oh dear. So he was just confirming everything that I'd asked for in from all directions. Just like, look, Ellen, you're going. So yeah, be encouraged because he likes to have a bit of fun when you ask for a bit of confirmation.
So yeah, he likes to talk to us in all sorts of ways because that was the song and then there was the email and then there was there. And I was like, oh, okay, I'm getting it, God. You're getting through. That's really encouraging. Thank you, Ellen. I haven't brought the thing down, Ben, to do the doofy doof. Yes, please. Should I come get it? Sorry. Doofy doof. I said thank you. Okay. So here we are on the final week, and hopefully the words are bigger than they ever were. We've done nearly all that. Look what we've done. Hey. So today we are doing delivery. I don't know if we're having babies. Possibly. Representing him well. Growing faith. Have we got the whys, the whats, the what fors even. And the hows laid down. And don't go for him. We'll mention that later. Delivery. Representing him well. So it's a bit kind of like revisiting, but just going a bit deeper. The foundations are his love being expressed to draw people near and to grow them, to encourage them and to build them up and to call them into who he sees them to be. And the more we get to know him, the more we get to know his heart for us and the world around us. So if we want to know what he sees about someone else, the less of a filter we have in our hearts, the clearer it is to see the person, right? 1 Corinthians 12 through to 14, we looked at the sandwich in week one. It tells us to pursue love above all, like our life depends on it, and to go after the prophetic gifts because they're founded on love. It's going to grow as we become accountable for ourselves and our own hearts and processing before God. We can fan ourselves into flames. We can track our journey, and in so doing, we can let the Holy Spirit teach us from both our mistakes and our victory moments. We can just be real in this. Performance issues from an orphan heart, though, are the main hurdle to overcome when it comes to representing Father well using prophetic gifts. Does anybody know what I mean by an orphan heart? Kind of get the picture? So basically, somebody who doesn't really have the ability to know that Father loves them, that doesn't know their value as a son or a daughter in the kingdom. Somebody that feels disconnected by maybe their own sin, a bit like what we were talking about this morning. If you're stuck in that place, you can have an orphan heart. An epitome of an orphan heart is someone that hasn't even found Jesus yet. But just because we accept him as our savior doesn't necessarily mean we get as far as accepting Father loves us and that we are safe as a child of God. So there we go. So that heart issue is the biggie to overcome in our prophetic gifts. If we really want God's presence and his heart manifest in our lives and the lives of those around us, We do have to be willing to deal with the issues of character that might stumble us. Desiring to be correct. Probably, we've all done it. Some of us perhaps have been conditioned more in being correct. Some of us might have had a perfectionist upbringing, a bit like, gotta be perfect, otherwise it's wrong. That is something that can be unhealthy because it gets things out of kilter. That sounds wrong because you think, well, of course I want to be right. I don't want to be inaccurate. It's true, you don't want to be inaccurate, but if you're so obsessed with getting it right, you make that more of an issue than hearing God, and it gets in the way. Does that make sense? So it is a big issue, and it can take our focus off of love and being loved and loving well because we're too busy being perfect. Orphans particularly need to please, so they have to be perfect. And then in needing to please and be perfect, they're getting in the way of actually just being loved. Yeah, we can violate love because we want to be correct. Holy Spirit is accurate all the time. So I'm not saying, oh, let's have lots of inaccurate words. But I am saying, don't focus on whether you're accurate or not. Focus on Holy Spirit and Father's love. Yeah, does that make sense? Insecurity can breed our need to be correct. Love breeds the freedom to try not being perfect as we set out, and therefore the freedom to grow. Because if we're too perfect, we're not free to have the space to get things wrong. Think of your children. If you constantly came down on them over everything, they end up not thriving. Whereas if you give them the room to make mistakes and learn, they grow. It's a healthy way, yeah? So imperfection is a no-no. I've gone the wrong way. There you go. Desiring to be awesome. It's on a different piece of paper for me. Always looking to be the hero and the champion means that we begin to puff ourselves up and our reputation. And that's a danger because then we start to steal God's glory. Again, some of us may be more prone to this than others. Just depends on our upbringing. It's just things that we need to be aware of. Paul actually rebuked Peter for needing to hang out with the Jews when he'd been called to the Gentiles. He'd already had the word and he was being sent, and yet he was still kind of wanting to hobnob with the Jews because they were his tribe, and he wanted perhaps a little bit of self-importance still dying in him. And Paul rebuked him for it. The most important thing is that we're in the right place in our hearts with God. And we're not doing it for anything other than for God. And as servants and from a place of humility, and because we love him, because he first loved us, and he wants to deliver a message to the world. And actually, as we get to know him, we just love other people more. We're doing it from a place of love. We're not doing it from a place of position. Well done, Ben. Placing your identity in your gift. We can't afford to live in a place of only feeling celebrated and alive when we're operating in a gift. It does make us feel alive when we operate in a gift. It's really exciting and encouraging when God uses us. That's great. But that's actually not what defines who we are. It's so important that we refocus on it being an expression of a relationship with him, because otherwise we start to lose the focus again. The relationship with God is the identity. The gift is the fruit of the relationship. Okay? If we get this, we can say, as Paul said, that we're content in all circumstances. Why is that? Because the contentment in identity and in relationship with God remains when all else may at times fail. So there can be times when we might feel dry, when we feel like we're not operating the way perhaps we once were, and we wonder why it's shut down. It may just be that he's pruning us, and actually we're growing stronger internally because we're going through a season of learning. It doesn't mean that we've lost the way. Actually, in those seasons, that's about deepening relationship. So the gifts are not the focus. The relationship is the identity, and that's the focus. And then delivery. Don't be self-focused whilst you're given a word. That doesn't necessarily mean puffing yourself up. You can be actually quite anxious and therefore self-focused when you're bringing something. And that can come across. So then that detracts from the message that is from God for the person. You kind of just want to try and remove yourself out of this as much as you can. So don't be puffed up. Also, don't be overly like, oh, I hope this is right. See what I mean? You're just being yourself, hearing from God and delivering his word and kind of removing yourself out of it. I've lost it. Yeah. So focus on inviting Holy Spirit to counter this. Because we all do it one way or other, but Holy Spirit is the one speaking the word. So we're listening to and focusing on what he has to say. And we're focusing on the person and seeing the love that God has for them. Bless you, Anne. Don't be negatively focused on things that you may know about the person. God is calling them up, but you need to do the same. So you might know something about that person, and God has given you a word. You've now got to learn to remove yourself and what you know from what he's saying, which might not be the same. You might know a fact, and the Holy Spirit's saying something completely other. You've got to remove yourself from that so that you can deliver the word, because it's the word that brings life, not your opinion. Even though your opinion could be true in that moment, you only got that moment. God's got the whole thing. Does that make sense? So don't be negatively focused, but be fully present in a good way. He's passing round. Bless you all. He's getting you back. Be fully present in a good way, focused on who you're with, because in this loving way, you facilitate God to be present with them, because you're just like the channel that he's coming through. His love wants to reach this person, and you're the vessel that's going to come through. So, yeah, just kind of like me out the way, you and you, God, and them. You love them, they're going to find out how, and it's going to go like that. So, growing faith. Going the wrong way. This is an intentional process as a disciple of Jesus. That means we have to actively allow our faith to grow. We have to do something for our faith to grow. Faith comes by hearing, Romans 10:17, and hearing by the word of God. Yes, that's the word, the scriptures. But the word of God comes to us directly as well, doesn't it? So it isn't just, I can only have faith and hear when I read my Bible. I can have faith and hear by reading the Bible and by hearing his voice speak to my heart. Okay? Actively look for God's stories from other people's testimonies to expand your own capacity. There isn't anything wrong with finding out stories that others have had. It is the testimony that brings life, right? So if somebody's got a powerful testimony, listen to it. Get encouraged, get inspired, let it challenge you, make you want to rise up and go the same way. I think sometimes we get way too kind of like comparative about it, and oh, well, that's for them. And it's like, that's actually just an orphan heart insecurity. You're listening because they had a journey. They once were struggling and they've gotten to where they are. They're showing you the way. Now I'm going to listen to them so I can do the same and go where they are. So it's to encourage and challenge us to grow. And imagine your potential. I like this. This is Sean Bolt's. He said, if you imagine what you can do when you're watching someone else. So you're not just then comparing. You're looking at them. He said when he was 16, he heard a prophet at the time, I think it was. And he was just like, wow. And he watched it, and it was like, I want to be like that. I want to grow up and do that. There wasn't anything wrong with that. He wasn't being comparative. He wasn't being jealous. He was stirring up something in his heart that was saying, do you know what? And he said, so he would imagine himself older, giving words to people. And of course, because he stayed in that place and he believed it and he pursued God to get there, he's doing it. Ephesians 3:20-21 is the verse where it says, he is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or think. So, yeah. Oh, sorry about the spelling on gift. Yeah. So if we watch testimonies, put yourself in them. Don't keep yourself out of them when you're watching them. You're actually watching them to grow yourself not to diminish yourself. That's sometimes what we do, and it's not healthy. Okay, take risks. We talked about this last week. You can't be taught head knowledge alone. We all have to have an experience, and that means we have to step out in trial and error. So that's another reason why perfectionism is a no-no, because if we wait until we're perfect, we'll never get going. Jesus often did the same miracles, but he would do them in different ways. So he healed several people of blindness, but not all the same way. He did several multiplications of the feeding of the 5,000 and the 4,000, but it was different each time. The reason being, he wanted to open their minds to possibility. Otherwise, we as humans naturally build a little world and a little institution around the thing we just learned. So if I do X, Y, Z, I will get A, B, C. Whereas if he does something one way and then he does it another way, it's like, just know that I do it, but don't figure out the hows. Just let me be over that. So that's why taking risks and getting experience is important to help us keep our minds open. Sorry, I'm not doing well like this. Have God's focus. Focus on what God is doing, not on what he's not. Because actually the truth is he does so much more behind the scenes at times that we assume he's not at work. And he always is. And he probably is way on the things we think he's not more than we realize. So why focus on the what he's not doing? Because he probably is anyway. But focus on what he is doing. And that is a good precept to like lay down inside for when you're giving a word to somebody else. What is God doing here? What's he doing as I'm stood with this person? They're crying. Holy Spirit's on them. What is God doing? And ask him, what are you doing, God? Don't make an assumption. Figure out what the Holy Spirit is saying about the person. And then track what God has done. It's a biblical and godly principle to set up Ebenezer stones, to hold feasts and fasts, to tell stories and remember what God has done, and this counters the enemy's attempt to steal from us. If we're active in tracking what God has done and we remember, there's less ground for the devil to go, oh, God doesn't do stuff, because it's like, actually, he does. I have proof. I have this Ebenezer stone. I have this entry in my journal. I have this testimony. Those things are actually really important. On down days, the records of God's victories can lift us up and encourage us. The word of our testimony also encourages our own faith. When we give a testimony, yeah, it encourages other people, but actually it also lifts us. Because as we're hearing it come out of our mouths, we're going, wow, God, you did that. Not because we're after glory, but because we're encouraged as we hear that God's working in our lives. Keep your prayer list specific, and you can have clear evidence of answers to encourage you. And then tell these stories to yourself and to others to grow faith. If you just pray really like, is generic the right word? Really like random, oh, bless the church, God. Heal the congregation, Lord. Send us finance where we need it. How are you ever actually going to determine whether he's answered? Whereas if you have specific needs and you come in prayer over those specific things and you write them down, you have definite Ebenezer stones to record, don't you? It's like, is it George Muller? He was really particular about writing every financial entry because his was all about a journey of financial faith. And everything that he did, he would record down to the last cents, as it was then, or whatever it was, pennies, that's it. And he would write every last thing down. And that testimony he wrote is still speaking to us now, is still encouraging our faith to have a financial journey. But he was really detailed. And it was actually the detail of what God did in those times was so specific. And then that's really encouraging. I can give you a testimony of that. I had a financial, which is how it is, and I felt God was saying to give, I can't get this right now, details gone blank. I felt God was saying to give a specific amount, and it was actually what I had left. So I literally had, yes, thank you, Ellen's remembered, she's got the detail. So I had £10, she's doing 10, yeah, thank you. So I had £10, which I gave away to where he told me to give. And then I went to a service, and the word challenged me, and they passed around the thing, and I had 60p in change in my purse. Sorry, 64, she's on it, 64p in my purse, in coppers, and I shook that in the bucket, and I had nothing, that was it, gone. And there was no money for food that week. I'm like, okay. Thank you, God. Yes, God. Give with a grateful heart. Give with joy. And it was about 3 days later, I think. I just wrote this out. Okay. And then everything shifted. I had some money I was owed came into me, which I wasn't expecting. Oh, that was it. I know what it was. Yeah, this is really cool. Sorry. So I gave this £10 to Christ for All Nations. We'd been to the conference, the fire conference the year before. They blessed me. I think what they stand for is really good. It just was God nudged. I need to do that. So I did that. This money came into my bank account, and the person who was able to give it to me was really excited, and so they put Praise God as the bank reference. Their money, hang on, let's figure this out. Yeah, so she's so much better at the detail. That's what happens when you get my age. You need teenagers around just to remember things. Yeah, so basically, I had two entries in my bank account. One said, Christ for All Nations. The next said, Praise God. And the amount that came in was basically add 3 zeros to the amount I gave out in the space of 3 days. I'm like, come on! That is a testimony. I'm telling you that because that gets me excited, see? But the reality is, he's done it since. He keeps doing it. And if we keep doing it, he keeps doing it. And the more we tell it, the more excited we get. And so it goes on. Yeah? Sorry, I just got excited then. Right, so that is why testimony is good, because it encourages our own faith, and it also encourages people that are listening. The measure you believe God wants to come is also the measure you can prophesy into. Sean Bolt's quote, don't take credit for that, but I just think that's really powerful. How much we believe God wants to come is how much we can prophesy into, because we can't say, God wants to send you to the nations. If you're looking at someone and thinking, oh, you're in sin, it's not going to work, is it? We have to have a measure of belief that that's the reality in order to be able to prophesy into it. So believe big for yourself and for others so that you don't limit God's gifting in you. Otherwise, you could have gone further because you limited yourself because you were scared to believe. Yeah? Okay, there's not much to say this morning. So really, it's back to where we started. Have we got the foundations of the whys, the what fors, and how they're laid down? This is really, really simple. Why? Love, relationship, building up, and restoring. What for? Love, relationship, building up, and restoring. How? Love, relationship, building up, and restoring. You getting the picture? When it comes down to it, everything God wants to do is that. He's all about relationship. He's all about love. He's all about restoration. He's all about building. Even the Old Testament representation of God, where we see the law and we saw judgment and we saw things go pear-shaped, the prophecies in the Old Testament, like I said this morning, your sins I remember no more. And though you've forgotten your covenant with me, I will remember my covenant with you. He was already prophesying into the new covenant in the blood of Jesus. He was already in the place of, I'm all about love, relationship, building up and restoring, even in those days. And how much more, once Jesus had come, was he all about that? So I think we should probably just think for a minute about the practicality then of meeting someone and having a word for them. So there's different scenarios. There's someone you know well, and they ask you to pray. I think in every situation, the most important thing is that you stay real. You don't try and pretend. If you don't get anything, don't make something up. Just say, I'll pray. I'm not getting anything, but I'm just going to pray. Or maybe just pray in the spirit, pray in tongues over them. If you do hear something, be willing for them to test it. Be okay with that, because they're supposed to. And be sure that what you're giving is lining up with the word. Be sure that what you're giving is going to encourage or restore and build up. And remember what we said a few weeks ago about things that might seem negative. If you see a picture that implies there's something going wrong, like the guy that saw the man who was stabbing someone in the back in the spirit, he learned to give that word in a positive way by speaking the opposite. So he said, you are called to cover people's backs. In other words, he never mentioned, I know you're stabbing people in the back, but that was so much of a conviction to the man that was doing it that it changed everything. So it's about doing the opposite and always about love, relationship, building up and restoring. So even when you correct, you can do that in a loving way. So that's people that you know. When you get into the realms of people that have no clue that God even speaks, it's a whole other ball game, isn't it? I almost feel like I'm not qualified to talk about this because I'm like fairly newbie at this myself. But I'm just kind of exploring how I perceive I'm going to go for this. And if you want to add to this, then please do, because this is not, I know this thing is not. But if you come across somebody and God starts to get a word for you, for them, I'm just thinking of the couple of times that happened to me when we were at the Pamba, the first thing is relationship and love. You can't just go in and go, God wants to tell you something, because they're going to be like, okay, she's nuts. You actually have to be able to talk to them. So just be human. Just go, hi, how are you? Just sit down, have a chat. Let God open the door, because if he's giving you a word, he will create the conversation. So be normal. Be yourself. Be a friend. Just let them feel safe. Have a chat. Then when you know he's opened the door, that's your time to bring the word. But when you bring that word, you're wanting them to know that God talks to them. It's really important, because that's the whole point. It's not to be clairvoyant. The point is to lead them to Jesus. But at the same time, you don't want to go, God has told me, because that's actually, you need to be a bit like, I believe I have heard from God that this is possibly, you know. So Sean Bolts, I'll quote him because I feel like he's qualified and I'm down here on the level of it. So we'll quote some of his stories. When he gives words for people, he says less is more. I mean, he gets detailed. He's had like people's full mobile phone numbers, the road that they live on, how many children they've got, what their names are, what their business is called, full works. He gets the whole lot. And with all of that and how many years he's been doing it, he always starts with, I might be wrong. Good place to start, because actually you're keeping a humble level and you're not lording it over someone, because there's nothing worse than someone coming up and, oh, you need to know, and that's just horrible. And that wrecks relationships. So he starts with, okay, I believe I've heard, this is in Christian meetings, he says, I believe I've heard God say Brian. Sorry, Brian, I'm just using you as an example. I've heard God say the name Brian and Hannay Road Cheddar. Does that mean anything to anybody? And then somebody goes, that's me, that's where I live. And he goes, oh, thank you, Jesus. He keeps it humble. It's like, okay. He's honest. He says, every time I think, not sure about that one, but he does it. He just keeps doing it. And then they put their hands up. And so then he's like bringing out more. He'll say a little bit more like, I heard the name Susie. You have three daughters, is that right? And is one of them called Susie? And then they go, yeah. And then sometimes as he's talking, he begins to see more. So he might realize then that God is saying, your daughter is going to get healed, or your daughter's going to get used in this ministry, or whatever. But he's gently going in bit by bit and letting them do that. But he's got a very good example of a time where he was really going for it and getting accurate check all the way, and then he got halfway through giving this list and something was off. And what it was, he was in a shopping mall, and there was a Latin American lady getting on the escalator with her children and a pushchair. Now, in LA, that's a complete no-no. You don't do it. But in her country, she didn't know. They'd only just moved, and they all did it. That's what they do. And so she was trying to go up this escalator with little toddlers and the buggy, and all the people were and like judging her and getting really cross and jostling her. And he spotted what was happening and like ran over to her. And as he ran over, he got the name of her husband. So he helped her off the escalator, and he said, "I am so sorry. People just don't understand. That doesn't happen in your country, does it?" And so he explained that it's not what goes on in LA, and tried just to gently start there. Well, instantly then he's got her trust, hasn't he? So then he says, "Is your husband's name whatever?" She goes, yeah. He goes, "Do you love Jesus?" And she goes, "Yeah, we go to church." And he kind of gleaned a little bit out of that. And he goes, "Well, I love Jesus too. And sometimes he gives me words for people. And I think he told me your husband's name for a reason." And then he goes on and it carries on. And it was about his husband's family had cheated him out of a business or something. And so they'd moved back to South America. And then one of the family members had died. And then the brother had now said, "We want you back in, and we want you to move this on." So he was about to prophesy into this. God had shown him all that detail. He was about to prophesy into, and God is going to bless, and it's all right, and this is what God wants for you. And then he said the name of the street where they lived first. And she goes, "Never heard of that place." He said, at that moment, he could have gone, and like completely stopped and not said anything else. But he'd learned that sometimes we just don't get it all right. And he said, "I didn't let that stop me going on with the rest of what I'd heard." So he carried on. He told the rest of the story. All of that was accurate. The lady was just like blessed a bit. They exchanged phone numbers. And about 2 weeks later, the husband rang up Sean and said, "You have no idea. I've been backslidden. I was so doubting this was the right thing. Me and my wife had been arguing all the time. We were so in fear about what was going to go on in my family. You've just completely turned that around with your words." And he kept in touch with them. And basically, this man's business thrived. He got involved in a local church and he grew. And it was just really good news. And he said the reality was that one thing he got wrong, they've forgotten. They completely forgot. He could have let that one thing stop them doing anything else. So the importance is, it's not about perfection. It's about relationship. So at the end of the day, every time we're given a word, we're trying to portray God's love. And if we give something and what we say is either wrong or doesn't seem to come to pass, if we're still getting across that God loves them, then actually it's a win. It doesn't matter that we may not have got it perfect if ultimately what they remember is somebody told me about God's love. And he's got lots of other stories where he's said stuff, and at the end of the day, he's had conversations where the whole thing's been wrong. Been in cafes and given a word, and it was like, "Oh, sorry, mate, didn't know what you're on about." And he's like, oh, I'm sorry. You know, I'm learning, and I've been trying to hear God, and sometimes I do get things. And, you know, I think sometimes I've had track record, sometimes it's right. And actually that has led into, "Really? Ooh, tell me about that then." And so then he tells the story of when it went right. And I'm like, wow. So how do you hear God then? And who is God? And, you know, he's had stories where in complete failure, because he's not let fear and error get in his way, people have still become Christians. So did he fail because he didn't get the word right? Of course he didn't. So it's just about being okay, just having relationships, loving people, and letting them know that God loves them. And so I guess for all of us, possibly the biggest fear would be the fear of rejection. The moments when you go up to someone and they go, oh, I don't want to know. Like push you off kind of thing. Oh, you're going to give me a leaflet. Oh, you're a JW. One of those, you know. And none of us like that. It's not nice. It doesn't feel comfortable. The reality is that will happen. But if we decide that love is more important than rejection, we'll go, bless them, Lord. Go find someone else. Really? I hope I will. I'm talking to myself here, but that's where we need to get to, isn't it? And if we can do it together as well, I think you've got more chance. I think doing it by ourselves, A, accountability, because we will need to call each other out a bit sometimes. Wait a minute, maybe we could have said that. Maybe we could have approached it a little. Or covering one another's backs. One of you might have a word, the other one's praying for you because you're nervous. And they're just blessing you with peace and for the word to be accurate, you know. It's much better to do it together. That's why Jesus, I guess, sent them out in twos. One was doing it, the other was praying, probably, I don't know. So, yeah, that is it. We have reached the end. Questions? Nobody's really said anything for 4 weeks. It's been my voice too much. Come on, somebody must have something they want to know. Oh, my gosh. Good.
And I know this is only the start, the tip of the iceberg, and we are all in learning.
Yes, me included.
Yeah, but I think, you know, God's graceful, isn't he?
Yeah.
And I just think, I love the way you've encouraged us all.
Thank you.
Because actually, as an individual, I totally identify with that whole thing of rejection.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, I'm totally there, Jane. I'm not, like, confident in this at all. But I want to get there. The point is, wanting to get there is more now than my fear. So I'm not free of the fear. I just want to do it. And I want to see. And why do I want to do it? Yeah, I guess, yeah, am I a buzz junkie? It's not that. It's actually, sorry, buzz junkie. Oh, I just made that one up. But is it more like, I want to see God move. And I know that God can bless people. And I've seen it just a couple of times. I've seen just a very few things. I saw someone's ear get healed. I've seen someone's leg grow out. I've seen somebody know that I gave him a word twice. That's probably it. I haven't got a lot there, but I've got a bit. And it was enough to make me go that alters people's perspectives on God. And if I'm meant to represent him, I want to keep doing it because that's what I'm here for. I want to get to the end of my life and look in his face and go, yeah, I found out what you wanted me to do and I did it. It's that. It's really that simple. And it doesn't have to be massive, but it does have to require, yes. Brian, you look like you're going to ask me something. Yeah.
I mean, in my old-fashioned language, I grew up knowing that as being willing to abide within God's righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the right is, mm-hmm. being part of God's righteousness.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just a little story about my garden. I've had a plum tree, it's a greengage, and I've had it for about 6 years now, and nothing's happened. And in my fruit tree book, it says plum trees don't winter prune.
Okay.
So I thought, oh, right. So I didn't prune at all.
Right.
And then I read another book that said
prune it.
You can prune at other times when there's no risk of frost, and put some kind of coating on the cuts to prevent a particular fly from getting in.
Mm-hmm.
I did that last year, and this week I've just been out to look at that plum tree. In fact, earlier today I just checked it. It is laden with fruit bugs.
Mm. Pruning's good.
Pruning is good. We're not to be afraid of it. He will pull us up short in those areas where we need to be pulled up short.
Yeah. Yeah, I just say that for the recording. Brian's talking about the plum tree and reading that you don't prune a tree. And so he didn't for 6 years. And then when he did, because he read in a different book, you could, within a year there's fruit growing. Just everybody's looking at me like, we know this story, but I'm just saying it so the recording gets it. And I think pruning is personal. It's what God does in our seasons. It's also called pruning. God prunes. Does he prune nations? I guess he does. God prunes at every level. And he's the life bringer. So everything he does is good, even when it doesn't look like it. I'm sure the plum tree thought that wasn't good at the time, if it had a thought. You know what I'm saying? Sorry, I haven't gone queer. But basically, the plum tree is a representation of how we would feel. It'd be like, don't cut that off. I was doing something. Yeah, but if I cut it off, there'll be more coming out of that. So, yeah. Yeah. Making you,
you're
yeah.
looking things differently, and he speaks in a different way, and it's okay to have the, I remember one time, the first time I ever took one out to the public instead of being to a friend, I heard him say commercial estate agents, and instantaneously I had the voice, I've made that up because it's the first business I can think about in the village. So I discredited the word as soon as I had the word.
Yeah. Was commercial estate agents.
So for me, that was just like, it was right!
Yeah.
It was really exciting, but it didn't matter that she didn't know I had the commercial estate agent with it. It was an encouragement from God for me.
Yeah.
That actually you did hear, but in my beginningness of it all, I was totally unsure of whether it was God or not, or whether I'd made it up, or whether it was this, that, and the other.
Mm.
But his graciousness at just steering it through and taking it with
me
on the journey.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. Yeah.
But I find the flowers almost that because I have something to do outside of what I'm going to say, I know I can show love
anyway.
So the worst I can do is bless them with a bunch of flowers.
Yeah.
But the journey in it is actually, if you've never heard and you've never had any of this stuff, you won't until you start.
Yeah, it's about intentionality, isn't it? Yeah. I think Sue's just talking about having bunches of flowers to give out, and that is a focus to have a word for someone. If you don't get the word, you're still loving someone with a bunch of flowers. But if you do get a word, that's a bonus, and because you've got the bunch of flowers, it makes you listen for the word. There is an intentionality about what we're doing. So if we are intentional that we're going to go somewhere together and split into twos, I think, and ask God for words for people, I think we will have them when we think we don't hear. That's the point, because we're being intentional. And that's why it's good to stir our faith up and to do things that stretch us, because we're sitting here thinking we can't, and it's because we haven't, not because we can't, because he can and wants to. Does that make sense? So, on that note, here we go. It is time to go for it, which means there's two things. I put a challenge for the week ahead. I need to do this too. Ask God for a word for either a family member, a friend, or a colleague, or someone that you fellowship with. Stop. Well, I don't know. I was going to say where you feel comfortable. Maybe the family member's really uncomfortable. I don't know, but you know what I'm saying. Ask God for a word for someone. Keep praying for them. I said that last week. Keep praying for them and ask God for a word for them. And remember, when you deliver it, say, well, I've been praying for you and I kind of felt God said this for you. Does that make any sense? Or maybe start with something a little less even. Do you have a friend called John? Sorry, John. Do you have a friend called John? Oh, great, because I was praying and I thought God said, John needs your encouragement right now. Yeah, whatever it is. Start with something, just kind of open the conversation. And then when we've done that, there is basically, I'd like a little show of hands for anyone who is interested, and I will just about put my own hand up, in going out to hold one another's hands and pair off in twos at some point. Yes. Yeah. Okay. So. Start with someone, Tim. So, what I was thinking in the end, I'm actually working on Saturdays for quite a few. I was going to do a Saturday, but I'm actually working for quite a few Saturdays. And then I thought, what if, don't know what you think, what if we brought our sandwiches after church and we prayed together and we got some Dutch courage. Oh, Liz, you better come. Got some Dutch courage. And then we go somewhere from there in twos.
I should make it the Lord's courage, because Dutch courage is
getting a bit tipsy. Well, we can have the Holy Spirit for that one, yeah. Is anybody up for that? Yes? Sundays, would that fit better than Saturdays? Because if we're already out and we have some sandwiches, we can go for an hour and a half and we've still got some day left. But we might just have such an amazing time. We stay out all day. Who knows? Yeah? Okay. So what I will do is I will put a list on the back, decide what day, and then we'll just do it. Okay? Yeah. Is that okay? Okay. Yes, John. Yeah.
That I've been Christian about 5 years or so.
Hang on. Yeah. Go and speak into the mic, John. That's it. Then I've got to repeat it. Yeah. Yeah, go on. Just talk. You can sit and tell us.
Sorry?
Have a seat and tell us. Oh, pretend you're going
to
play.
I like to see the faces.
You don't have to play the piano.
Come on, John, you can do this.
Right. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, I'll try and sit down.
Yeah.
But I can't see you. So
that's all right. That's better if you can't see
it. Yeah. What happened, I'd been a Christian about 5 years, living in Winscombe, and I changed my job and moved to Plymouth. About a year after or so after I'd moved, Patricia Bootsma came to Plymouth, and I went to an evening meeting. And one of the things that she did was there was about 60 people, but she got about 40 of us in two circles, one inside the other, and the ones inside were facing out, and the outs were facing in. And I can't remember, somebody played or something like that. When the music stopped, it's not musical chairs, but when the music stopped, the person in front of you, right, you had to prophesy over them. In other words, hear from God a word.
Yeah.
20 people, and I went round every one of those as we were going, never got a thing. Okay? Fast forward about 15 years plus, and I get put into a similar situation where I was in Toronto on a leader school, which was a month long, so it was quite a good time. And I was with a guy called Mark Verkler, who does this teaching. And at the end of the week, because we had a full week, 35 of us, full week just with this guy, teaching on how to hear from God. We split again into two sections. But this time, instead of facing one another as a circle, we were on two rows of chairs, with one person for each row, on the end of the row, about 6 feet away, sitting on a chair. And every person in that row had to step forward and prophesy over the person on the chair. So you can imagine how I'm feeling. My fears come plundering back on me. Mm. I get to the end of the row and it's my turn next. I've got nothing. I move that 6 feet, bang, I've got something. And that happened, all of the people, every time it was my turn to go and pray over somebody, I got something. And yet I had nothing sitting in the seat.
Yeah.
So to encourage, you may not get anything this time, but he's on your case. You'll get it.
Yay, that's good, John. Thank you. I don't know whether anyone, that when we were in the groups having words for each other last week, was there anyone who was encouraged by a word they received? Yeah, that's good. Did anyone be encouraged by the fact that they got a word for someone else? Yeah, that's good. Anyone wishing they got one and didn't get one? Yeah, probably. If there was, don't worry about it, because often it's just a case of finding out that he's talking to you and you just haven't figured out the way he's talking to you yet. So you might think, I didn't hear a sentence, but you may not have realized you had a pain in your knee because you just hadn't focused on it, and the pain in the knee was for someone who needed their knee healing. Do you see what I'm saying? It may just be that you were focused on, he's going to say this. And he didn't, and because you were thinking about that, you didn't realize he was saying something. So it's just learning to kind of spatially aware in the spirit. Does that kind of see what I'm saying? It could be all sorts of ways. It could be what you're feeling. It could even be what you're smelling. You can sometimes smell a fragrance, and that is a word from God. You can see a picture. You can spot something on a flag, and suddenly it's like, yes, that's speaking to me. It can be in all sorts of ways, and it can be a scripture or a sentence. So don't worry if you think, oh, I didn't get it because you were expecting it one way. Start to think, okay, it's not coming that way. And just relax. Just relax into it, because God wants you to hear more than you want to hear. So you will. I think we're there. Catherine? Yeah. Do you want to? All right, I'll repeat it. Go on then.
You and Ruth gave me a mission this week.
We did.
Thank you.
the foundation, the fundamental thing, and that's really cool. Yeah. But the word was actually about the relationship, wasn't it? So that's the most important thing. Yeah, that's really good. So I'll just repeat that. Catherine had a challenge last week to have a word for someone, one of her nurses, who she wasn't getting on with. And so she was asking God, how do I do that? Because we don't talk. And so she'd been praying, and then the nurse comes in the next day and asks why they're not talking. And then the relationship is being built. So although the word didn't come, relationship came out of wanting to get that sorted. That's really good. Maybe you're still going to get a word as well. So yeah, that's really good. Okay, can I just pray for you all and me? For whenever we do it, I'll write something on the back. Is there any real no-nos over Sundays? Okay, yeah. No, Anne, I'd like to know when you're available, please. Yeah. Yeah, we'll all go round for you. Roxbridge people. Yeah, absolutely. It is good to practice.
One of the things we did once before this as well, before we went out, which I'd never done before, was we learned to pray and ask God for visions or images or whatever you
pictures,
might say.
Yeah.
Yeah. People we might meet on the street.
Yeah.
I have to say it didn't work for me because it didn't at the time, but for the people that were around me and were on the same course, it did.
Yeah.
And I'm good. Totally for it. I believe it. I believe God will show me.
Yeah,
it
yeah.
Didn't happen at
that time. No.
But other people went out and they already seen an image or a picture of people and they were seeing them on the street and they were like, whoa.
Yeah, they've already seen them. Yeah, yeah.
In a way, the Holy Spirit's gone
before.
Ahead.
Yeah.
And that is quite helpful.
Yeah, it is.
Because I've done it cold before now, and it is quite.
It is.
Tough.
Quite scary.
We did some door knocking years ago.
Yeah. Oh, that one. That
first
that.
Five doors we knocked on.
Don't mention door knocking to me.
Oh,
yeah. I grew up on that, and that just.
Fed the sixth door or something, you can get into.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I grew up.
It is interesting.
Hello, Ellen's got a hand up.
How about practice?
Now?
Practice
at the barbecue. What, on each other?
Attack my neighbours.
No pressure, Anne. They'll never come again. No, don't speak that in Jesus' name. Yes, they will. Because they're going to be encouraged. Because we're going to have words that are going to go, wow. Well, we can practice on one another, can't we?
Yeah. I said this, but there's a church in Bristol not wearing jackets, but they offer anything and people book up for slots.
Yes.
Word,
yeah.
And there's four or five people who will just literally meet them for a few minutes and then go and pray for them.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's finding ways to facilitate it with us here, then, isn't it? When we're together, because either we've got to arrange a time when that happens other than Sunday, or we've got to somehow slot it into Sunday. I mean, whether when you and leaders can like talk this through and we'll bring something from there. But maybe we could, I don't know, have half hour slot when people are coming in and there's a corner. Or something, I don't know. Whether we can offer it when coffee's on. I don't know. There's various things. We'll make a decision. Have a think about it. I'm just putting it out there that there's probably a way that we can start to encourage each other to do it. And talking about seeing people, the lady that started up the coffee shop in Chester, who I went to her healing school for a few days. She began all that through her husband seeing a lady in a pair of pink jogging bottoms. It was like, that's nuts. Let's see God. All I'm getting is pink jogging bottoms. And actually, this one lady was terminally ill and lived on the council estate where they wanted to buy the cafe. And through getting to know her and loving on her, she became a Christian. She started getting all her friends. She was like the centre of the community that enabled the cafe to become a focal point. She passed, she didn't get healed, but her legacy was how that cafe actually opened, and it was all through a pair of pink jogging bottoms. You know, it's like we think these things are so random, but God knows what he's doing. We've got to try not to figure it out so much and just go in faith a bit more. So okay, so we'll come up with something and make an announcement when we're there. Is that the best thing? All right. I'm going to pray for us, for me as well. Yeah. Father, I just thank you. I thank you that you do really want us to hear you, that you love us very much and you love the world around us. Thank you that you have given us this privilege and blessing to be able to represent you and to take you out so that others can find out your heart for them too. I ask God where we have filters that still cloud our vision about ourselves, Lord, that you would just begin to clean those lenses. And Lord, where we have filters that cloud out our vision of others, clean those lenses. Give us such a pure vision and a pure heart of the way you see us and the people that we know and the people that we meet. And Father, I just pray a blessing on each one of us, for our ears and our eyes to be enlightened, that we will come to know what your good and perfect will is for one another, that you'll gift us, Lord, and Holy Spirit, that you would fill us more with your presence and with the ability to hear your voice and to operate in those gifts. Thank you that they are available to us. And I just pray for an increase on each one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much, everybody. I'm sitting down now.